all the latest news, views and reaction to the A-League, the Socceroos and Australian football. This is 442 FM. Hello and thank you for tuning in to 442 FM. I am your host, Adam Jackson. We have got a full house today. We've got Kevin Ayres.
I'm here.
We've got Constam Acostas.
Hello, hello, hello.
Tom Stelzer.
How's it going?
And Johnny Davidson. View the...
Greetings.
Oh, lovely, lovely sounding Johnny Davidson. Right then, look at us. Five blokes chatting football. Very good.
All that's missing is a curry.
We just need a curry.
We could open up a butcher to such a sausage fest.
Well, talking of five blokes and a plate, Adelaide got...
boom tish.
Segway.
Segway of the season.
We've started well. We have started well. But seriously, what on earth was that? What on earth was Adelaide's trophy presentation?
If you don't respect yourself, nobody else is going to respect you. People say I look like Bruce Willis, but I don't sing like him, thankfully.
What song was that?
Is that from Moonlighting?
Respect Yourself. He did Return of the Bruno. On the album Return of the Bruno, he sang If You Don't Respect Yourself, and he actually made a top 10 hit.
Look like Bruce Willis.
It has been said, not by many, as we said, but it has been said once or twice.
Kenny Lowe.
No, we're not going there. Actually, Kenny Lowe is younger than Bruce Willis, so I think I'll probably take
Kenny Lowe. Can you just say it wasn't a goal?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not going there.
Okay, so the FFA presented the Premier's plate to... Who do we have there? An empty stadium.
An empty stadium at Cooper's with Galekovic, Amor, Gite... And it was Damien de Bon in person presenting the plate to deafening silence.
Mm.
Apparently the club didn't want it presented on Friday night before the match because it might distract the players, which is a fair call. Yep. I understand that. They did want it on Saturday morning at an open training session when fans were going to be there. But that was inconvenient or unsuitable for the FFA for reasons unspecified. Although we've heard rumours. It seems ridiculous. It's the middle of the Easter holidays. Open top bus.
Yeah.
Seal off the town centre. Tell everybody in advance. Get a crowd there. Get some photographers. Get a bit of buzz. Maybe a bit of a brass band. Some Cooper's beer. And you've got a celebration. You spent an entire season winning that trophy in triumphant style from nowhere to first. Mm. And you just get it given to you like it's a bus ticket. It's just ridiculous.
Has anything that... If Damien de Bon organises something, does anyone hear or see it? Do you know what I mean?
Is this like a philosophical question?
It's the new philosophical question of the age.
Three falls in the woods.
And like last year he did the grand final. He booked the grand final at Amy Stadium because he didn't...
He forgot about Etihad
and... all the other stadiums, and this season, he's. I think that's there's no more apt way to conclude his time at the FFA than an empty stadium and a trophy presentation.
Hmm. From Adelaide's point of view, then, I know it, to a certain extent it was taken out of their hands, but if they get knocked out on Friday against City. And this season will feel very underwhelming in terms, as you rightly said, Kev, they've come from nowhere, from bottom on the 29th of November or whenever it was, to winning the Premier's plate, and then they just get presented a trophy in the dugout.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, how can the FFA say it's inconvenient or unsuitable to present the trophy at an open training session in front of fans? It's virtually their only job to run the A-League and run the Socceroos. And presenting the Premier's plate should be the pinnacle of it. And they pull out all the stops, not only to make it happen, to make a song and dance about it. I find it astonishing that they've been allowed to get away with saying, sorry, that's a bit inconvenient. I've not got a window in my diary for that. come on, it's a premiership. I know everybody, I know there is an element of Australia that insists the championship is more important, but it doesn't matter. The premiership is still very important. Yeah. Whether or not you want to put the championship above that, the premiership takes a season to win. It takes 27 games to win. It's a huge achievement to win it. We should celebrate that, not just hand it out like it's a dirty secret in an empty stadium.
Especially from last season, Lowy kind of bent over backwards to present the grand final trophy.
Presented at breakneck speed.
If nothing else, do you think Adelaide should have just taken the trophy? You know those sightseer buses that are open top? Just all five of them got onto the top of the sightseer bus and just drove around Adelaide for an afternoon.
Yeah. I think it should be at least something. You know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, they just go out for a nice curry and eat it off the Premier's plate.
Yeah.
Have like a smorgasbord of curry on the Premier's plate. At least take some pictures, put them on Instagram, maybe. Some kind of celebration, at least.
They should get in the captains of all the other teams and they have to cook up a meal for the captain of Adelaide and he gets to eat it off the plate. Kind of like a My Kitchen Rules.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I like that.
We've had a My Kitchen Rules reference before about A-League players having a little cook-off. Some really good curry in Adelaide, actually. Mm. I had a really nice curry.
I've still never been to Adelaide.
That works on two levels too, because they could cook up the meal, they could eat it, and then comes the grand final trophy, toilet seat.
Ring of fire.
Please,
both trophies.
Please can you refrigerate the grand final trophy this year? very good. So, underwhelming start to the pod, as always.
I thought John's joke saved it.
Yeah, he did. But John, you did have a very good point, actually, off air, which we'll kind of touch on now. Has Bruno Fornaroli given Uruguay or placed Uruguay into the hearts of the Australian football fan when for so long we've had this kind of rivalry and hatred? John?
I think I'm probably more cynical and hate-filled than most people, to use a Ned Flanders phrase. But I think slowly it's starting to thaw the Uruguayan hatred. You know, that goes back from karate chopping Ray Bards to, you know, the dirty fouls in the 80s against the Scots, and then obviously spitting on us, you know, coming off the plane in, I think, was it 2001? Yeah, so Bruno and Suarez, of course, who's an absolute grub. Bruno's just outstanding. So you got to love him. You got to appreciate his skill and everything he's brought to the competition.
It is kind of hard to equate Bruno with that 1986 Uruguay team that, you know, just took chunks out of Scotland, and then, you know, the rest of the Uruguayans who behaved so appallingly to the Socceroos.
Kev, remember when you were there, I was sitting next to you at the World Cup 2 years ago in Brazil, Colombia, Uruguay, and they just, you know, they tried to foul the Uruguayans out of that game. It is quite often the way they play.
Well, even the fan, remember the fan that chasing around? He ran into the Colombian crowd, smashed a couple of guys in the face, and then ran off like a little child and hid in the toilet. And waited for police to come.
A woman's toilet.
A woman's toilet.
Oh, wow.
Hidden the closet there, waiting for the police to come to give him an escort out. And then as soon as the police were there, he was all big and dangerous again with a Uruguayan flag wrapped around his shoulders, making sure that he was a very, very safe police escort out the stadium.
That's pretty clever, actually.
Didn't Bruno Fornaroli grow up with Luis Suarez?
Shh. We've got a feature in the next edition of the magazine.
It's not known.
But he did. He came from the same tiny town as Suarez and Cavana, and they were all born in about 1987, within a few months of each other.
So how come Bruno Fornaroli got to see a better dentist than Suarez?
The other thing, which isn't the feature, but I was down with Fornaroli last week. Fornaroli is wearing braces.
Oh, is he? Well, there you go. Maybe
invisible braces, but he's got braces.
Okay. Wow.
There does seem to be something in the water in that town.
Yeah. There we go. Insight.
Not fluoride.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom, do you want
maybe to... it should be changed from the big book of British smiles to the big book of Uruguayan smiles.
So Tom, do you feel fondly towards Uruguay after this import?
I mean, to be honest, it might be overly magnanimous of me, but I feel like after 2005, all was forgiven from my point of view anyway. We made the World Cup at their expense.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I don't mind Uruguay. I mean, I'm a Liverpool fan, so it's the Suarez. I have also kind of a, you know, a love-hate relationship with him.
Mm.
And as a country, I think, you know, they punch above their weight on the international stage. And yeah, once we beat them and qualified for our first World Cup in 32 years, then to me, that's all that matters.
It was a punching above the weight that caused a lot of the problems in many, many different type occasions.
Divine right. Divine right.
Although Fornaroli was nearly kicking people in the head this last weekend.
I fully backed Fornaroli in that one. The area around him was completely clear when he began that manoeuvre. If people want to rush in and put the head on the line when there's a boot coming towards them, that's their lookout, in my opinion.
We're jumping ahead of ourselves, but yeah. let's go round the circle. Goal or free kick? Con.
Oh, it's a goal. You've got to reward overhead free kicks.
Overhead kicks.
Yeah, the day that's ruled out for a free kick is the day you stop watching football, I think.
You'd have to be an enemy of football to disagree with that, but if it is anywhere else on the park...
No, I honestly don't think it is. When he started that... When are you supposed to do an overhead free kick then? When are you supposed to do a bicycle kick?
Well, you know, there's an argument to say that it is dangerous play.
What, any time at all?
Yeah.
It's dangerous play if you're running into someone's boot. So what, that's dangerous.
If nobody's around you, you shouldn't be able to do an overhead kick.
So what about just having a high foot? The ball comes down and you kick it.
If there's nobody around you when you're doing it, that's fine.
Mm.
If you're doing it and there's somebody within a leg radius when you start the move, then that's dangerous.
So what you're saying is, if a tree does an overhead kick in the woods and there's no one around to get hit in the head, it shouldn't be a free kick.
It'd probably be signed by Sydney.
Damien De Bol would have given that a free kick.
But he would have given the free kick.
Yeah, he would have.
He hates football, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He hates any type of drama or excitement.
He'd have locked everybody out of the stadium so that nobody could actually know whether it was a free kick or not.
John, you were saying on off air that you hate Fornaroli and you said it should have been a free kick.
No. Oh, I like Shane Lowry. I've interviewed him. He's a nice guy, but he's taken a piss of it there. I mean, he's also played for Millwall for some time, so he's kicking people on the head. So, it was a nice try, but no, definite goal.
Talking of just goals and misses and things like that, apropos nothing, Tom Rogic. What a 10, 15 minutes spell that was for anyone. Hero with that sensational equaliser, and then that shooter.
They'll never forgive him.
Oh, to be fair, the excuses have already started that apparently the turf at Hampden had just been relayed, and if you see it in a better definition screen than we get the opportunity to, you could actually see the ripples off the turf as he lined up to take it, and when he took it, the feet just gave way, the turf just gave way, and hence the sky. But yeah, that was just a shocker. My heart just bled for him.
Is that? Do you think that's going to affect him going forward?
I don't know. He looked really cut up about it. I mean, he was trying desperately to shrug it off and walk off with his head held high. But you know, that's got to be pretty soul destroying for anybody. That's a terrible burden to take.
John, have you caught up with Rogic recently?
No, I haven't. I was going to quite soon, but he's not usually the most chatty of individuals when it comes to the media, so I doubt he'll be talking that much. But I mean, I think we've got to give him some credit. I mean, it was his fault that got him to the penalty shootout, so you know, that's football, isn't it?
Yeah.
Highs and lows, and sometimes Roberto Baggio-style penalties.
So as we, before we come on to the the games from this last weekend, and then a little bit of a preview for the upcoming weekend. Let's talk about the mag that we've got on sale. We've got Aaron Moy on the cover.
Yep. Lovely old issue. It's a cracking issue, actually. We've got a great chat with Aaron, who doesn't say much, but he gives us great insight when he does tell us anything. And we've got good chats with the people who know him best and helped him through his career and built him up to what he is now. It's been such a huge breakthrough career season for him this year. Both club and country. So that's a don't miss feature to read. We've also got the top 10 A-League debuts, which doesn't include Craig Goodwin's, as we were reminded, but watch out for the next issue for a big feature in Craig Goodwin, which is why he wasn't in the A-League debuts. But yeah, the other debuts are quite sensational as well. Everybody from... Come on, help me out.
Dwight York, Benita Carboni, David Villar, a few big names.
Yep, it's a name but a few, but there was also some...
Devante Clute.
He gets a mention.
He gets a mensch.
Inevitably. But yeah, there's a lot there. Classic moments from A-League history. And we've also got a big feature on the Blitzing Matildas, who were proved unbeatable on the road to Rio and are now looking like a really strong gold medal hopes for us at the Olympics. So that's just a taster of what's in there. There's a lot more besides.
Lovely. A lot of green and gold action in there, so go out and buy. It would be unpatriotic of you if you didn't. On a serious note, Aaron Moy on the cover. He's got to be probably the most high-profile Australian that we've featured on the cover that's currently playing in the A-League.
Yes,
You know, we had Milligan on the cover with Rogic and who pre-World Cup and someone else. I can't remember off the top of my head, but and he was obviously playing in the A-League at the time, but he didn't command the cover on his own.
It's
and Aaron Moy has.
You know, Aaron Moy is such a quiet individual, and he is genuinely a humble guy who you know, doesn't look for the spotlight, just wants to let his football do all the talking for him, but. He has managed to get that breakthrough identity across of, you know, even without saying very much, he is becoming a household name and a household face that is instantly recognisable for both the Socceroos and Melbourne City. And that in itself is testament to how good his football has been, that you can do that, you know, with stats that put, you know, similar players in similar positions in much better leagues to shame.
Mm.
When I was at the Socceroos game versus Jordan in the World Cup qualifier, so we have the mix zone and all the players come out. So all the media's attention's on Rogic, and Moy comes out and everyone stops talking to Rogic and moves to Aaron Moy.
Mm.
And that just shows you how much of a presence he has and how people want to hear him speak, even though he doesn't say much.
Where would you like to see him, John? He's pretty.
I was just joking on what Con said here because everyone wanted to hear him speak, and then when he started speaking, everyone went away. I've got a feeling you probably look to come to the UK, but I think somewhere like Holland or Germany or even, you know, Belgium would probably suit his game better.
I think the important thing is that he does still continue to get first team football,
yeah,
and in that position that he wants. You know, the number 8 struck number 10 kind of role. When he was pushed back into the number 6 role, we didn't see the best of him at all.
Mm.
So, and when he wasn't necessarily getting as many games as he wanted, we weren't seeing the best of him overseas. So, two very strong criteria. He gets plenty of game time and he gets to play in the role that he wants.
Quick one on that number 6 before we move on, Tom. It's probably like, you know, when you're playing Aaron Moy, it's almost like that quarterback position, and he can kind of dictate the play from that number 6. I think he there's some benefit of having him there, but I think one of the criticisms of the game, and it's in the feature actually, about his like ability to actually win the ball back, and I think that's probably one aspect of his game that is probably going to stop him from maybe making that leap up to a top English or European squad team.
Yeah, I think generally, you know, once you step up to one of these bigger leagues, it's so so much less forgiving, and you can't really, you know, you need to, I think, above all, have that defensive solidity and organisation. And if you're a bit, you know, undisciplined there, or you can't hold that position, then could become a problem. But I find that he's always been quite good at winning the ball back higher up the field.
Mm.
It's just more holding the midfield a bit deeper that he doesn't have that, the kind of, you know, the defensive instincts of maybe Jedinak or someone like that.
Mm.
Mm. Right then, Brisbane Roar beats Melbourne Victory 2-1. It was, I didn't watch any of this up until the last 10 minutes. I'm pretty happy about that. It's a great decision.
We should all just watch the last 10 minutes of most Brisbane Roar games. That's where all the action is. It's like a basketball game.
But it was pretty much 10 minutes that defined... it was pretty symbolic of, as you said, Brisbane Roar's season a little bit as well. They, you know, how quickly they can just turn it on. And it was kind of sparked into life by the Gary red card, and that kind of acted as a catalyst to actually go, I think, more so for victory in the initial stages, that, like, shit, we're down to 10 men now. We've probably had the better chances as the game has gone on, but, you know, we need to do something about it. And who better than your man Berisha?
And what a crazy lead up to that game that Berisha was able to play in that game, because how he got his suspension from two games to one.
Mm.
And now he's created the Berisha rule, because Harry Navio could get his suspension down from two games to one game.
Yeah, it's almost like the FFA were trying to create a narrative that would give them extra airtime and broadcast news.
Well,
and
I wonder
newspaper column inches. I don't know.
Who's behind that, I wonder?
Danny Bolton.
Then from that decision, it means that you're... you can retaliate if someone's...
He still did get a one-game ban.
Yeah, but you can now retaliate now. Is that what they're saying?
No, that's why they still got a one-game ban.
They view the vision. They got... and from what Berisha told them, of what Andrew Durante said to him, that's why they moved it from two games to one game.
Yeah, but it's still got a ban. Still got a red card. Got a ban. So he's still... There was still punishment for the retaliation. It's whether or not it was
the violent
behaviour.
Well, I don't know. I thought from what FFA said, they spoke to Berisha. He told them what Andrew Durante said in more detail, and that's why they let him play.
Would you have let him play?
No way.
Why do you hate football, Con?
I don't hate football.
You hate football. You're just so anti-football.
It's violent conduct. You can't retaliate to stuff like that.
But he is getting punished for the retaliation.
But he wasn't as punished as he should have been.
You think he should just get punished more?
Violent conduct's two games, isn't it? Sometimes three games.
But is it violent conduct?
If you're kicking someone...
I would say...
If you did that on the street, to use the often used term...
I would say it's more... It deserves more than a one-game ban if two yellow cards gets a one-game ban.
Yes, I'd agree. Yeah. I think it probably is a two-game ban. I agree. But I still think there was punishment for retaliation. I don't think the FFA are necessarily giving the green light to retaliation.
Mm.
But the level of punishment is debatable, definitely.
Let's talk about victory prior to the red card, and they pretty much had all the chances in that first half. Kev,
yeah, I didn't see much of that game either.
Brilliant.
I actually forgot.
Oh my god.
So, like you, I tuned in for the goals.
Yeah, the best chance fell to Kalfala.
What a miss.
Oh.
That's his season in a nutshell too.
I'm in a nutshell.
Great Austin Powers reference.
Yeah. Oh, I've always dreamt of doing that one. very badly. But yeah, there was a couple of other chances too that Jamie Young saved. I think Barbarousis had one, and there was a couple of... They had most of the play, like you said. But that chance, that was...
It even looked to the linesman, didn't he? Like, come on, help me out. Please tell me I'm offside. But that lovely outside of the boot ball from Barbar for that, it pretty much perfectly into his... It was a funny angle, I suppose, wasn't it, Tom? It wasn't a simple tap-in.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the easiest chance you're ever going to have. But, you know, in a game like that, you need to take your chances. And, I mean, I think Melbourne obviously going to have thought they had it won. And they probably deserved to be ahead when they went ahead. But, you know, they'll be kicking themselves still that they threw it away, effectively. Or that Brisbane decided to turn it on for the last 4 minutes and pull two goals out of pretty much nothing.
And didn't they... Brisbane equalise after the kickoff.
Straight from kickoff.
That's the second time they've done
that. Yeah. Gee, 2 weeks ago.
I've never seen once in a season, okay, but twice.
Yeah.
In a short span of time.
I think, like you said, they just can do that for some reason. They just turn it on when they really desperately need to, and it pays off. But why can't they play like that the rest of the time?
Yeah. But John, that the opening goal, if. Ross Aloisi, would it, you know, like did he kick or throw a bottle against the camera the week before?
Smashed his water bottle against the wall.
If they hadn't have won that game and Berisha half volleyed from a corner in the middle of the box, like he would have been blasting bottles at the whole of that defence. John, there wasn't really a question in there. Do you want to? Are you there?
He's still there. No, he's gone.
No, John hates football as well.
I'm here.
Oh, he's here.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, were you just doing a Premier's Plate presentation to Adelaide there?
I wasn't just
I just wanted a little bit of your insight on that on the opening goal for Berisha and how the ball bounced in the box.
Berisha's goal?
Yes.
That's insight.
Yeah.
That's insight.
Great. Moving on.
Is he playing jazz? Is that a pause? Is
the Berisha's goal that you were asking about? Sorry, the connections.
We're losing John. So Kev, did you see this one?
No.
Oh, dearie me.
We've got a panel of five people.
And not one comment.
Well, my not sure comment is hilarious.
Okay, I'm back.
John's back.
was it Bruce's goal you were asking about?
Yes.
I don't even know anymore.
Yes. Did you see it? Because we didn't.
Yes, I did. It was obviously it had to be Berisha at Suncorp against the Royal, didn't it? But it would have been. I think it was a bit of karma that Victory got knocked out in the manner they did because Berisha shouldn't have been playing that game. So the Royal are just specialists at sticking the knife in late in games, aren't they? You know, they did it in numerous grand finals and done it again.
Well, I think it was the same minute that he scored against, was it the Wanderers in the grand final? 86th minute, I think.
Right.
Yeah, it was the exact same.
But that was
to make it 1-1, I think.
It was, you know, like, I don't like it when players score against their former team and they don't really celebrate, like Berisha did. And you know, he was a bit subdued. You know, he didn't celebrate. He kind of just like looked at the ground and walked off, didn't he?
Yeah. He's a very humble man.
He's humble.
Very humble. Man.
That is the one thing you can say about Bessart Berisha. Do you know what? I'm only joking by saying that. I love that he runs to the crowd and jumps in the crowd and celebrates. I am interested. It kind of shows how much he wants to win. That, you know, after the game, he's there and he's got tears in his eyes and he's being consoled by Brisbane players that had won the trophy with him 2 years ago or 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah. Ago. You know, that's an interesting character, that, isn't it?
I think for all that, you know, he's got his discipline problems, I think he's a fantastic character for the A-League. He's been great entertainment, he's been great value his whole career, and he is such a determined competitor that that's why, you know, he had the record for goals previously before Fornaroli came along and put him to shame.
And before this season, what was it? He's won 3 out of the last 4 grand finals?
That sounds about right, yeah. Not a bad effort.
It's not bad.
He's one of the A-League legends.
Yeah, there was interesting on Shootout at Fox Sports Shootout the other day. They had Broish on there, and they were talking about how he phoned up Berisha after the game to, you know, check if he was all right, because apparently Broish's mum had phoned him to say, like, that Berisha looked upset after the game. Can you make sure he's all right for me?
Oh, can you imagine that conversation?
Yeah.
Are you okay, Bez? You're still crying? Yeah. Don't be so sad. You have next year. Could you imagine Broich and a German backhanded...
Nice accent.
Thank you. I've always loved it.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't be sorry.
Last point on victory. It was nice to see Carl Valeri back.
Yeah, and I thought he played well, actually. Mm. And, yeah, I think he's welcome return for victory, obviously. You know, from next season onwards, he'll be fit again, and yeah, he was a big miss.
Mm.
And that, I think that, you know, if they'd had him for more of the season, then they might have finished a bit higher.
Yeah.
What did we ever get to the bottom of what actually was ailing him? I know it was a swollen brain infection thing, but was it meningitis or was it something else? Or?
I don't know.
Mm. Always seemed to be a bit vague on the specifics.
I just thought
of
it
that.
Was.
Welcome to 414.
No, I thought it was the doctor said there was an inflamed brain condition, and because he was suffering dizziness, that they had to make sure he was tested okay before.
Yep.
I think it was the inflamed brain.
Mm.
Yeah, but what was causing that? Was it like meningitis? Because, you know, there's an infectious element to that as well. Just.
Inflame in the Carl's brain.
Wow.
Brisbane turned it on for the last 4 minutes. Moving on.
Probably just as well. There's only two more of these.
Inflamed in the Carl's brain. That's just... I would edit that out.
We don't do any editing, as you can probably tell. But in that same interview, Broich was... on Fox Sports, Broich was... damning of his first half performance from Brisbane, and they were like, we didn't deserve to win, and if we play the same against Wanderers next weekend, then they won't win. It's as simple as that. And I think probably the fact that Victory are probably on a bit of a slump anyway, and they've struggled towards the end of the season, a clinical Victory or a solid Wanderers team, you know, they would have had no chance, but it kind of shows their character that they can kind of turn it around. And as we were saying before, Tom, you know, how they can just switch it on like that and just decide they need that kind of catalyst, don't they? Do you think Aloisi can kind of drive that into them from the first whistle?
Well, I mean, I suppose that's the thing, is that it's a good characteristic to have, but I don't know how much use it is necessarily in, you know, in... starting on the front foot. Is that they said, yeah, they seem to be able to do it when their back's against the wall and they need to get a goal, they need to do something, but it's worrying that it takes that long for them, even in a, you know, in a final, to get back into the game. Like, they weren't very good, especially first half, and like you said, if they're playing a Wanderers team that are going to be up for it, they just can't afford, they'll have lost the game before they have a chance to get back into it.
Mm.
Yeah. They haven't been playing that well since the Sydney FC game. McLaren hasn't been firing at all. There's an interesting stat. Andrew Howell's gone crazy with the stats this week. Brisbane Roar have won 11 playoff matches, the most in the history of the Hyundai A-League, and they've won 7 of their last 9, but this season they've only managed 3 wins away from home. So I think they're in trouble going into the Wanderers game, because they always do that comeback at
really
Suncorp
three
Stadium.
Games away from home.
Yeah.
That is a shocking
one story. Of them was at Pertek then. One of the first games of the season.
Yeah. So
Jim McLaren scored 5 goals in 3 games against the Wanderers as well. So lethal weapon.
Yeah, I saw that stat on the Facebook site.
Yeah.
So it brings up a lot of contradictory stats. But I think we're going to preview the games later on. But yeah, I think they'll struggle.
No, we could preview
away
now.
From Suncorp.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be an interesting clash. If Wanderers win, they're going to be sticking a good claim to... the FFA will be wanting them to win to have a Sydney final.
Yeah.
De Boer won't have to, you know, zoom
travel
around the country.
Yeah.
Can stay at home. Maybe doesn't have to look for a crowd.
I'd be up for that as well.
Yeah.
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 Be nice.
Are you in the running for his replacement?
I've put my name in the hat.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
I think you'd be good for the job.
Hmm.
You don't like crowds either, do you?
No.
No.
No experience necessary.
Hate
football. I heard is the essential criteria.
I'm in with a shot then. But what Wanderers? So that there's a big gap between the last Wanderers game and this. You know, even, you know, it's just the Sunday. How do you? For me, I'd prefer to go through. I'd prefer to not have this week off and just kind of continue on and have that game. Do you know if Wanderers are playing any games behind closed doors or?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Just
have the.
They probably have games between the squads.
Within their squad.
But
yeah.
I don't think they would. It's not normally done. But I don't know. Everyone. It's always a big discussion point. Is the week off good or is it bad? Do you want the momentum? But I think Brisbane Roar just look exhausted, except for the last 5 minutes, which is contradicts what I just said. But I would much be in a position of the Wanderers than Brisbane Roar coming into that game, especially if they're at home. They've had the week off. Players have got a bit of an older squad too. Don't forget, Wanderers have got the Spaniards are over 30, Santelab's over 30, so
they're actually three.
Yeah, so I'd be up for it. The Wanderers are going to be up for it, right? It's the grand final, the last game at Pertec Stadium before Damien de Bowen demolishes it.
John, prediction? Who do you think will take this?
I'm going to go the Roar.
You think the Roar?
Yep.
Why do you say that?
I like orange. No, I just think I think they've got the goals in them, particularly with the likes of Enrique off the bench and McLaren, and you just can't go past that experience of Broich and North and those sort of players that they've got. I think they'll do it.
I think in anyone's summary of
but I do like orange,
and you do good. That's a good job. I think anyone's summary of Broich's season is very under par from what we've grown accustomed to. But he's stepped in the last few games, and when they need him, he's come and scored some crucial goals.
Yeah, he's only scored two goals, and they've both been absolutely desperately needed. Shame he couldn't do it for the title, the Premiership.
So that is Sunday. Fascinating. Western Sydney Wanderers versus Brisbane Roar at Pertec Stadium, 5 p.m. The other team that will be there will be Melbourne City. And a Bruno double again wins a game for City. We've already kind of given him a lot of praise, our little Bruno chat. Wilco came out after the game and said it was won in the first half that they pressed. Despite the goals coming in the the final goal coming late on, they just pressed and gave Perth no room in that middle. And he said that they targeted Castro, they targeted Keogh, didn't allow them any space, and it worked. Brilliant game plan, and it was delivered well, I think.
They had two shots on target all game, and their best chance was a really kind of a half chance with, is it Sandor?
Shandor.
So Shandor!
Just say it like Sean Connery would.
Shandor. So they weren't in the game at all, I reckon, from memory. Glory.
To be honest, I mean, I didn't think that was City's best game by any manner of means. I thought Bruno's goals were superb, 5-star, as good as you can get goals. But as far as the rest of the performance was concerned, I thought it was pretty mediocre for them, which just goes to show how poor Perth were. Yeah. And I think a lot of that was down to Castro clearly not being at peak performance by any manner of means. He is pulling all the strings for them when he's off his game. The rest of the attack, at least, just isn't there. The defence is still pretty strong for Perth, but it's just a toothless tiger otherwise, without Castro on form. Rumour is that he might not be there next season as well, sadly. Looking for a bit too much money, but hopefully we'll keep him in the A-League at least. Maybe even at Sydney, because, they can't find any, they can't scout their own players. But
yeah, maybe just pull him from elsewhere.
Yeah.
Anthony Caceres, I thought that was probably one of his best performances in a City shirt. Would you agree?
Yeah, I thought he had a very good game, especially alongside Moy. And like, I think you were saying, they, especially in the first half, that they were the more energetic side. They dominated proceedings there, and they limited Perth's options. I think, like we're saying, is that Castro over the last couple of weeks of Perth, if he hasn't been scoring the goals, he's played a massive hand in almost every single goal they've scored.
Mm.
And so if you can kind of take him out of the game, then their dangerous attack doesn't look too dangerous.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah, I thought City defended well. I thought they played well in midfield. And, you know, two moments of magic from Fornaroli up front, and that's the game won.
Was not having Navio in the squad, was that in the team, was that necessarily a bad thing? I don't think they missed him at all.
Well, like I say, I mean, I don't think that was necessarily City's best performance, but they came away with the points.
Yeah.
If Navio had been there, then maybe, you know, there would have been a 5-star performance instead of a 4-star, or 4-star instead of 3-star. I don't know. I think he does bring something. He does add something to the team. They've got a, you know, with Moy, Fornaroli and Navio, that's three very, very strong players. Mm. Bring Caceres on up to that level as well, and you know, you're really looking quite daunting. You can take Navio out of that, you can take Caceres out of that, but if you've still got Moy and Fornaroli, you've got the spine of a good team.
For me, from the Adelaide game that I went to last week, Navio, you know, it wasn't a great performance from the whole City team anyway. But Navio seemed to he seems to keep hold of the ball a little bit too long, and which is fine if you're holding it up, but sometimes he's holding up play and not allowing them to break quick enough. And there was a few times, I'm not sure if that was just hit an off day or, but he didn't quite seem on the same wavelength as Fornaroli, and you know, they're gonna have to beat this Adelaide team on Friday night. Quick one on Perth. They've had a brilliant season now, haven't they?
They've had a brilliant second half of the season
until the last 2 weeks. Really. Yeah. I mean, that's the shame, is that they've done so well to get their, you know, put their name back in the hat and turn their season around, and then that, you know, big loss to Sydney and then kind of going out with a whimper now in the finals has kind of put a bit of a dampener on what had been a really good turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll be, you know, ruining the chance they had to get a home final when they just, you know, fell apart against Sydney. And, you know, that's effectively cost them, I think.
It's just so hard being in fifth and sixth spot. It's just, history shows those teams finishing those spots just can't make it through those semi-finals.
Yeah, you've got too much to do, I think, especially playing away from home all the way. You have to, you know, you're beating the best teams in the league away from home in consecutive weeks. It's always going to be a challenge.
It is funny that, to say, even this year, and more so maybe this year than other years, how close that top six have been when you talk about the whole season, yet fifth and sixth very rarely do progress.
Yeah.
It's just having that home
inevitably
final.
I mean, you know, over the course of the finals, over the course of the whole 11 years, it's almost always been first and second contest the grand final.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole final series is just a money raising a facade, really, for the FFA. you could go straight to the grand final from the end of round 27 without changing anything.
Mm. John, are you with us?
He's just, I think he's washing the dishes or something.
This is a perfect question for John, but he's not there. Kev, would you give yourself the full backing for next season as Perth Warriors?
Yes, I would.
Mm.
I think I've done a fantastic job. And, you know, as far as 54-year-old Geordie go, I think I'm the best man for the job at Perth Glory. I think Kenny Lowe's been very, very good this year.
Mm.
I thought he had blown it. I thought we'd seen, you know, last year was just a freak of nature and salary cap busting that was really the underlying reason for the success. But after 8 or 9 seasons, he spotted where the problems were, acted to fix it, got in the right players, and put together a great side. It's just unfortunate that Castro was central to everything, and when he was off his game, it was at a crucial part of the season.
Well, what do we know about Perth Glory's actual transfer scouting network? Because they do seem to be, you know, pick up some decent players, and you know, there's a few players that have been rumored to be coming in at the end of this season as well. I'd be interested to find out how much Kenny Lowe has it to. Does he use some of his English connections, or
But there's certain things he must do, you know. Mm. I think, you know, picking up Castro and Shando was an interesting move, you know. They're not the sort of people that would necessarily leap out of a crowd and onto your transfer shortlist.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because he some found, canny sales and buying and signings.
He found two
canny low.
Hungarian. He found two Hungarian gems, right? They're both Hungarian, those the midfielders.
Shandor and...
Yeah.
Yeah, what's his...
And I've got an... I know a Hungarian journalist, and he was... I was asking about Shandor, and he goes, he's very slow and not very good. So...
Well, I'm pre-season. Still not actually convinced by Shandor, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've seen he's improved as this second half of the season has gone on. But I still don't... I think you could lose him and replace him quite easily. Castro, not so much.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're going on to the upcoming game Friday night, Adelaide versus Melbourne City. Tom, who do you think there is more pressure on to succeed in this game?
Definitely Adelaide. I think City are almost a dark horse at this stage that, you know, they've got the players to, you know, cause what probably would be an upset, you know, away to Adelaide. And like you said, that Adelaide have had that week off. They're the, you know, the minor premiers. They'd be expected to win to make it to the grand final. So I think there's a lot of pressure on them. And Melbourne City, yeah, they have, you know, they have nothing to lose, really.
Mm.
You know, they were there and thereabouts during the season and, you know, proves probably slightly too inconsistent to get the premier's plate. But now they have a great opportunity to go and upset the leaders there and make it to the grand final. But I think, yeah, I think there's more pressure on Adelaide and I think, you know, they should have enough to do it at home, but it's really anyone's game.
Can they've done it before. They did it 2 weeks ago. Can Adelaide stop that formidable front line of sitting?
Well, I spoke to Osama Malik today from Melbourne City, and he sees City as underdogs going into this game, and I reckon Adelaide would see themselves as favourites. What does that mean? I have no idea. No, but
when they got together, it was Moida.
I should have gone the murder way. But Adelaide, what is enticing about this game is that the fisticuffs that happen at half time. So I expect a bit of a tight, tense affair in the first 15 minutes. And then you'll see Melbourne City try and play their game. Adelaide United are very defensively orientated compared to what they were at the beginning of the season. There's no attacking Gombau kind of action. Amor's got them in a much more defensive setup. And if Goodwin has produced over 100 crosses this season, and I think Moy creates a chance every 50 touches. I think I read an Andrew Hat stout. So it's going to be Moy trying to find creative out. Trying to find express his creativity, and Goodwin's going to be crossing the diagonal crosses, trying to get in behind the lines. And I hope Neville plays as well, because I want to see as much attacking play from both teams. So I think saying that, I have no idea who's going to win.
Kev, who do you think is going to win?
I think it's going to go to extra time. Probably, I think it's going to be a draw after 90.
Ooh,
score draw or
score draw. Yeah, 2-2, possibly.
Penalties?
Don't actually think it is. I think somebody's going to win it in extra time, and I think it'll probably be Adelaide.
When was the last time we had penalties?
I'm not sure we have in the finals. I'm sure we must have.
I can't remember one.
I think there's a bit of...
oh, Johnny's back!
Oh, he's there!
Wow.
He's just waiting for a moment to speak, you know, listening to all that intelligent conversation. No, I think there's actually a fair bit of pressure in Melbourne City. You know, they are the big money club, you know, with the big players, and away from home, I think there is actually quite a bit of pressure. And you know, John Van Skip, what happens to him if they get knocked out in this game? You'd think, you know, potentially he'd get the axe. So.
Would he, to be honest? Because, wow, I think we all kind of expected him, along with Amor, to get the axe at Christmas, because we didn't think they were going to do anything under him. And then there he is, challenging, leading a league at one stage, challenging for the title and into the finals. Unless they've got a big name manager they want to bring in, I think he's pretty much nailed on for next season.
Mm.
I'd say.
But if if he loses this game, I mean, what really have they achieved? He's been there quite a while, you know, with Melbourne Heart as well. I can't see him getting them over the line necessarily in the future if they can at least make a final this season.
If there was a meeting that he was going to be sacked, I'd bring in a picture of Scott Miller and Tony Walmsley and say, what about these two guys?
What's up with Scott Miller?
It's a bit rich coming from a Sydney FC fan.
It would be interesting if Aloisi made it through to the final and Skip didn't, given their histories with City and Hart.
Mm.
Or if they were to meet each other in the final as well.
Narrative.
Mm. Narrative.
So who's winning an extra time, Kev?
Adelaide. Yep.
Is it just because you like red?
Yes. I like red. It matches my eyes.
Right then.
Should we go around everyone else and see who they think? Adelaide or City?
I reckon the fence.
Grand final. The top two. Who do you think?
Brisbane, Adelaide.
I reckon Adelaide, Western Sydney Wanderers.
I'd love it to be Wanderers City. I think that would be a better game of the four.
Played where?
What are the options in Sydney? It's probably going to be Allianz, isn't it?
Allianz, Partech, or ANZ, I guess.
ANZ.
It would be ANZ if it was.
I don't know.
No,
actually.
I mean, it should be ANZ.
That's a hell of a place to have.
It would be. But if Adelaide beat Wanderers, it would be in Adelaide. Unless Damien De Bruin does a switcheroo.
Well, they're
allowed to do that, aren't they?
Traditionally, it's always the ANZ Stadium has always been the home of football, said Damien De Bruin to nobody in particular because he forgot to invite them. but no, it does actually, you know, Mariners versus Wanderers was at Allianz for the grand final. So,
yeah.
Could well be Allianz again. It's probably going to fall down and depend on NRL schedules, AFL, and whether or not De Bruin's remembered to book his flights. So.
I would love.
Damien De Bruin's getting a lot of abuse on this pod today. I hope I don't get this stick when I take over.
It's like soccer stoppage time. <It's>
Damien De Bruin. No,
Colin, you've got some accidents today.
Go on, Colin, you're about to make a serious point.
I would love the FFA to try and take away, if it ends up being Adelaide United versus Western Sydney Wanderers, I would love the FFA try and take that away from Adelaide, and the stink that would create would be probably even more exciting than the grand final.
Okay, if it goes to Adelaide, Hindmarsh or
You've got to have it at the Oval. At the Oval. And apparently Devin De Bruin has booked everything except for the Adelaide Oval. He's my mail.
Excellent. John, did you give us your top two? You've gone Raw. Who's the other team?
Yeah, I think it's a real tough one, City and Adelaide. But I think the way final roll is going, you've got to go City. So City Raw final. I think that'd be pretty good.
Mm.
Suncorp again.
City Raw final in Suncorp. Very nice. Gents, let's leave it there. It's been a pleasure. We'll let people get back to their lives and stop talking nonsense in their ears. Tom, Con, Kev, John. Goodbye.
See ya.
Cheers.
Bye.
I've been your host, Adam, and we will speak to you next week once we know who will be in the final. Enjoy the games. Bye the mag.
Bye.